Joseph. Off the American Coast, 1939. 21 days from home. Miami! They weren't even a day out of Havana, and already the St. Louis was passing the American city. It was so close you could see it from the ship without binoculars. Joseph and Ruthie hung over the rails like everyone else, pointing out hotels and houses and parks. Joseph saw highways and white square office buildings, skyscrapers, and hundreds of little boats at harbor. Why couldn't they just pull into Miami and dock there? Why wouldn't the United States just let them in? There was so much land that didn't have buildings on it, miles and miles of palm trees and swamp as far as the eye could see. Joseph would take it. He would live there. He would live anywhere so long as it was away from the Nazis. An airplane circled the ship, its propeller buzzing like a hornet. Newspaper photographers, one of the other passengers guessed out loud. Joseph knew by now that the St. Louis was big news the world over. Newsreel camera crews had followed the ship out of Havana Harbor on little boats, yelling out the same questions all the passengers had. Where would they land? Who would take the Jewish refugees? Would they end up back in Germany? That afternoon, a U.S. Coast Guard cutter cruised alongside the St. Louis, its officers watching them through binoculars. One of the other children guessed the cutter was there to protect them, to pick up anyone who jumped overboard. Joseph thought it was to make sure the St. Louis didn't steer for Miami. Some of the children, like Ruthie, still played games and swam in the pool, and they were close enough to America for some of the teenagers to pick up a New York Yankees game on their radios. But most of the adults walked around like they were at a funeral. The happy mood of the voyage to Cuba was gone forever. People spoke little and socialized less. The movie theater was deserted. No one went to the dance hall, except for Joseph's mother. For days she had mourned Joseph's father, had become Joseph's father by locking herself in their cabin. But with the announcement that the St. Louis was leaving Cuba, leaving without her husband, something in her flipped like a light switch. She cleaned herself up, put on makeup, did her hair, dumped the contents of her suitcase on her bed, put on her favorite party dress, and went straight to the dance hall. She'd been there ever since. Joseph's mother was dancing by herself when he went to find her. A paper moon and stars still hung from the ceiling, decorations left over from the party when they all thought they'd be leaving the ship for Cuba. Joseph's mother saw him in the doorway and hurried over to him. She pulled Joseph with her onto the dance floor. "Dance with me, Joseph," she said. She took his hands in hers and led him in a waltz. "We didn't pay for all those dance lessons for nothing." The dance lessons had been a lifetime ago, back before Hitler. Back when his parents thought Joseph would be going to dances as a teenager, not running from the Nazis. "No," Joseph said. He was too old to dance with his mother, too embarrassed. And there were more important things to think about right now. "What's going on, Mama? Why are you doing this? It's like you're happy Papa's gone." She twirled in his arms. "Did I ever tell you why you're named Joseph?" she asked. No. "You're named after my older brother. I didn't know you had a brother." Joseph's mother danced like her life depended on it. "Joseph died in the Great War. My brother, Joseph, at the Battle of the Somme in France." Joseph didn't know what to say. His mother had never talked about her brother before. His uncle, he realized. He would have had an uncle. "You can live life as a ghost, waiting for death to come, or you can dance," she told him. "Do you understand?" "No," said Joseph. The song ended, and Joseph's mother took his face in both her hands. "You look just like him," she said. Joseph didn't know what to say to that. "I'm sorry for the interruption," the band leader said, "but I've just been told there will be a special announcement in the A-Deck Social Hall." Joseph's mother pouted because the music had stopped, but Joseph knew it was worse than that. He couldn't have said why, but he was sure, deep down in the pit of his stomach, that this would only be bad news. The worst. His mother took his hand and squeezed it. "Come on," she said with a smile.